It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shot Podcast, episode 350, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. BYU basketball dropped two games last week, and Matt and I talk about their now slim margin for error for the rest of the season, especially if they hope to make it to the NCAA tournament. Before that, though, we chat about the famous Idaho Potato Bowl and the matchup with Western Michigan, women's volleyball and their run to the Sweet 16, and the college football playoff. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU underscore Rise Shout, and listen to us right now. Can we have some wins to talk about? I would like to talk about victories.
Oh, then let's talk about women's volleyball, because all of the action is right now.
That's where all of the winning is happening. Before we get that, Matt, we have our first Tweetbag question of the day.
Tweetbag.
That's from Vacavidi on Twitter. And if you want to tweet at us and climb on in the Tweetbag, you can do so at BYU underscore Rise Shout on Twitter. He says, best books you read this year, Matt. We talk about movies a lot, but I read quite a bit. Matt, do you read books?
Books. Do audiobooks count?
Of course they do.
What about podcasts?
No.
It's kind
of
like
unless it's a podcast of a book.
No, that's kind of like listening to a book.
No, it's not. It's not
it's
a book.
Close.
Okay, let's go back. Do you have a favorite book or two from this year?
From this year?
Yeah, that you listened to or read this year.
Stalling.
Oh, my gosh. Stalling. All right, I'll go first. All right. So I've been rereading the Harry Potter books, but I won't talk about those. I read two really awesome fantasy books by Brian McClelland, Gods of Power, Blood Number One, which is called Sense of Empire, and the sequel to that, Wrath of Empire. Really good books. I like that. Oathbringer, which is the Brandon Sanderson, the third in his Stormlight Archive series. That was one of my favorite books this year. The War That Saved My Life, that's a middle grade novel about a girl who's grown up in London in during World War II. Really cool. Got it for my kids, and it was a really good book. It's got a sequel I have not that I have not read yet. And then a nonfiction book. My favorite nonfiction book this year that I've read is Empire of the Summer Moon, Quanah Parker and the Rise and Fall of the Comanches, the most powerful Indian tribe in American history. Amazing book. Very brutal, though. By the way, it's got a very intense descriptions of the Comanches. But those were my favorite books this year, Matt. Great
that
question,
great.
By the way, Vacavidi.
That sounds great. You are extremely well read.
I read somewhere between 20 and 30 books a year, typically. I love reading. And some of these were audio, some of these I read. I travel a lot, so audiobooks sometimes are the most convenient way for me to do this. So, Matt, you got anything? I mean, I gave you enough time. I feel like I gave you time. You can say one of my books, by the way. You can totally say one of my books, but that's okay. You haven't read them, so I don't want to put you on the spot.
I wouldn't even remember all of what you just said. I don't read 20 to 30 books a year. I probably used to read 10 to 12 books a year.
Yeah, what happened?
I slowed down a little bit post-grad school, actually. But I'm mostly a nonfiction guy. I did finally read this year, though. I think you gave me this book for Christmas. I'm just pulling it down off the shelf. A couple of years ago.
Creativity, Inc.
Yes.
One of my favorite books.
I did get that read. I did enjoy that. At the risk of getting kind of churchy, I have enjoyed the biography of President Nelson.
Oh. So. That is quite churchy, but I think on a BYU podcast, that is allowable.
It's probably okay, right?
I believe you probably won't get catch too much grief. Heck, one of the books I'm reading right now, but slowly making my way through it, is because I teach seminary, is Making Sense of the Doctrine and Covenants. So there you go. I can get churchy too, bud. I can get churchy too. Anyway, well, thanks for that excellent question. Not movies today. We talked books. Books.
I'm looking here at other stuff. It's mostly it's nonfiction, businessy work type stuff.
That's all right. I mean, you're a businessy work kind of guy, aren't you? So. Well, Matt, let's hop into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. BYUSenior.com. Matt, BYU senior Peyton Sorensen qualified for the Olympic swimming trials in the 50-meter freestyle last Thursday at the U.S. Winter Nationals in Greensboro, North Carolina. So congratulations to Peyton Sorensen.
Attaboy.
Speaking of winning. He looked good. Matt, Austin Hoyt and Sione Takitaki will both be playing in senior bowl games to show their stuff for the NFL scouts. So
you may remember this about 12 months ago right now, you made a similar comment about one Fred Warner.
I did.
This is where he really this is where he made his whole impact right here.
Yeah, it was a big deal for him, and I think
rushed it in that thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if Takitaki has a maybe not as good, because I don't know that he's as freakish of an athlete as Fred Warner is, but I think he'll show very, very well in front of NFL scouts. Did a lot of different things this year for BYU, right? Played multiple positions, has played, depending on how you look at it, at least three positions, maybe four at BYU, right, on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know. Matt, women's volleyball did not lose a set. And they are hosting the Sweet 16 this weekend. It's good to root for a winner.
Yeah, it is fun rooting for a team that's winning.
Occasionally. So Matt, they have, of course, coming up, they've got these games, and let's talk about this for a second. They, after losing to Loyola Marymount, there's always that fear, right, that you're going to, that loss will derail you, right? You know, you've been having on this great run, you have a bad game, and we saw it, you know, we've seen it in other sports, right, where, you know, a team looks great, and then they lose a game, and all of a sudden in the playoffs they're out. Right. Quickly. But that did not happen. Making to the Sweet 16 is a big deal. And they dominated Utah, which, by the way, it's really good to find out that we can beat Utah in something.
Hey-o!
Too soon. So anyway, Matt, what's your thoughts on how far they're going to get?
They're going all the way, baby.
Really?
They go to the championship game.
You think they go to the championship game?
Huh. I really do.
Excellent. I think you might be right. I think they've got a chance here. They still have, as we talked about last week, you know, their bracket is tough. So they play Florida, who similarly has not dropped a set yet in beating Florida State and Florida Gulf Coast. Interestingly enough, they haven't played a team from not Florida, but they will play us. We're not, BYU is not from Florida. And then the winner of that match gets the winner of number 5th seed Texas and unseeded Michigan. I will say Florida's got, Florida is a good team, and they got back their phenom freshman here a couple weeks ago, so that's tough. It's one of the reasons that some folks thought that the this side of the bracket was hard, was because of Florida, right? They're a team that, had they been healthy the whole year, could have been a seeded team, but were not because of some struggles there in the middle of the season. So, but I'm with you. I think they beat. I don't know if they make it to the championship. I think they beat Florida, and I think they beat the winner of Texas. Michigan, which would get them into the Final Four, but then they've got to play, you know, they've got to play likely Minnesota, who's similarly kind of you know, rolling at this point. But we'll see about that. But as I said, that Final Four, where is that again? It's in
where is that? Somewhere like really cold. I remember really it's gonna be cold there.
Yeah, like who chose to do that in December in Minnesota, right? But anyway, good luck to them this Friday night, and I think we'll, you know, I'm very optimistic, like you are, about their chances to keep going deep into this, right?
I don't think it's too crazy for me to say they make it to the ship.
No, it's not crazy at all. They're a four seed, right? They beat the number one team in the country earlier this year. I mean, it's not crazy at all. I mean, they could win this whole thing if they are, you know, if they get on the right streak and play well and catch a break here or two, right? That's nothing crazy at all about saying that. Nothing crazy at all. I'm imagining that on Friday the it's going to be a rockin' party at the Smithfield House. So it'd be cool to live there and go to these matches.
It would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Would you go and watch the Texas Michigan match and do like the whole shoot match on Friday?
Yeah, I think I might just because you know what I mean. You're right there, and I think that, you know, the kids would enjoy that. I mean, it's easy to say, right? But if that were happening down the street for me with all the stuff you have going on with your kids, I understand why not everybody does that. But this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just like a regular match, right? I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And by the way, they swept like all the awards for the all-region, all-Pacific region. Heather Olmstead was Coach of the Year. Like, pretty much the all-Pacific South region team is like BYU.
Yeah,
more or less. All right. Well, Matt, let's talk about football. Announced on Sunday was all the, you know, college football playoff stuff, and then all those dominoes fall, and then our domino fell, Matt.
Sure did, didn't it?
And this is the matchup, the kind of matchup that you and I were afraid was going to happen, right?
Yeah, and not afraid for like the right reason, right? No. Like, oh, we're afraid we're gonna have like Purdue draws Auburn, and you're like, ah, oh, that's what we were afraid of. We'd get a really good team. That is not what we're looking at here.
No. We're looking at, we're playing in Boise. We've already played there this year. We're playing on the Smurf turf, which is disgusting.
Barf.
And then,
can I say barf? I can say barf, right?
And then we're playing Broncos, just not the Boise State Broncos, the Western Michigan Broncos.
So we're playing one of the directional Michigan schools.
Yes, that is correct. Now, in the good news department, they just recently beat Northern Illinois. Wait a second, not good news?
Yeah, I'm not sure that works in our favor.
Now, that being said, Western Michigan's terrible. I have no idea how they beat them. Like, it's inexplicable to me that.
What else is inexplicable is I watched part of that game. That's what's inexplicable.
Well, I mean, think of this: their best victory is easily Northern Illinois this year, right? I mean, mm-hmm. They beat Central Michigan. They beat Bowling Green.
Wait a minute. Central Michigan and Western Michigan are different schools?
Correct, as is Eastern Michigan.
I thought it was just like satellite campus of the same school.
No, I'm pretty sure they're not. They have gotten blown out a fair amount of times, including against Ohio at home. And Ohio is 6-3, okay?
They lost a barn burner a couple weeks ago to Ball State.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at this and you're like, ugh, they're not very good. And we are favored to win. I think the Vegas line right now is like 12. So before people get all wrapped up in, will they beat Northern Illinois, and we lost to Northern Illinois, we're not, this isn't going to be a close game, I don't think.
And the law of transitive opponents, or whatever the term is, it's not a real thing, guys.
No, because we got absolutely hammered by Washington. Utah played Washington pretty tough, right? And we almost beat Utah, right? Like, none of that actually works, right? You can't do that. But anyway, Matt, your excitement level on 0 to Ty Detmer scale for this matchup against Western Michigan, I got a feeling that it's not particularly high.
It's like a Drew Miller.
Matt Berry. That. Sorry, Drew Miller, Matt Berry. We're not equating you to Western Michigan.
Matt Berry's a good guy. But
this isn't a quality of their
like 20 years ago
peopleness.
This isn't exciting, guys. Like, it's a bowl game. I'm glad we made it to a bowl game.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like, the potato bowl or whatever. Here's the thing. Do you know what would make this exciting for me? Do you want to make this fun?
No.
You're going to smoke these guys.
Yeah.
That'd be great. You know what? Like right now, I'm kind of like, it's a potato beef bowl or whatever this thing is called. You know, the potato bucket, potato chips bag, whatever this is.
I don't even know what you're saying. It's the famous Idaho potato bowl.
And I hate, it's not that famous, but I hate the blue turf, like with a passion, right? So,
oh, I know.
But you know, it's good. We could use the extra practice. It's great for the seniors to get another game. This is a winnable game. If they can go out there and beat these guys by more than 12, that'll be fun. I'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I agree. And you look at the bowls that we could possibly have gone to,
like ones I could have driven to from my house.
Yeah,
potentially.
There could have been some better matchups, I guess is what I'm going to say. You know, the Frisco Bowl, say it's us instead of San Diego State versus Ohio. Oh, no, that's not one of them.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in the end, we were not
getting... It's all the same. It's the same bag, right?
Yeah, yeah. We weren't going to get a... We weren't likely to play a P5 team in a bowl game, right? Based on the season we had and not having a bowl affiliation for this year, right?
Right.
You know, and you look at... And we'll talk about this on our next show when we start previewing all the bowl games. That's one of my favorite things.
Yes, the bowl game extravaganza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we gotta do that, man.
That is one of the best episodes of the year.
Yeah, so...
That's up there with the MLB preview.
Yes, well, actually, I think people actually like this one.
Nobody likes the MLB preview.
MLB preview. So, Keith Smith on Facebook, and if you want to talk to us on Facebook, you can do that at facebook.com/RisingShout. Not literally, we're not on there all the time, so...
But we are there during halftime.
We are there during halftime. Keith Smith says, what do you want for breakfast the morning of the bowl game? I'm assuming you're sleeping over. Keith, I lived with you for 2 years in college. I'm not planning on sleeping in your house ever again.
I slept on the floor on the couch in that apartment a couple of times.
Yes, she did. It's true.
And I believe I also had my fill.
You probably did. But well, I'm not going to Boise. Matt, you going to Boise?
I wasn't planning on it, but now that I got this invite from Keith, I feel kind of sheepish not going, right? Like, he's even offered to cook breakfast.
That's true. But the thing is, it's a 3 o'clock game. I could catch a flight out that night, probably. 2 o'clock mountain time, right?
A flight out of Boise in the evening?
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, I'm sure.
There's the airport shut down. I mean, how big is that airport?
Isn't there a direct flight to Houston from Boise?
I don't know. In my mind, the Boise airport's like this. I picture it like the size of the Midway, Texas airport. Like,
oh, stop
well,
it! It's
air and spaceport, actually, in Midway it is. But
I think it's a hair bigger than that. But
well, how many terminals are there? I think Midway's got like three
one
gates.
Terminal.
I think
and
Midway's
like five
got
gates.
Like three gates. It's like the Lafayette, Louisiana airport. It's like I think my house is bigger
than
that.
You
airport.
Just drop a name dropping. You want a small airport? Dodge City, Kansas.
Yes, yes.
It's
that's
like,
got to be a tiny airport.
There's like
airport.
A shack on the edge of a field, and the lady that checks you in and pulls you through security is the same one that rents you your car.
Yes. Does she also put your bags on the plane?
I assume so. I didn't actually see her.
I love this woman. I love her already.
It's
I think she's a beautiful human being.
She said, which of our three cars do you want when I checked out my car?
And they're all the same. It's all the same car. And they all smell like somebody smoked in it. Because they did.
Of course it is. It's Dodge City, Kansas.
It's Dodge City, Kansas.
Everybody smokes. Anyway, all right. So our next question also...
Anyway, but actually, Keith, Silver Dollar pancakes, some bacon, scrambled eggs. I like a little bit of cheese, like, into the scrambled eggs.
Make sure you let his wife cook for you. Unless something has changed. Keith wasn't much of a cook. We had a roommate that was a very good cook. But it wasn't Keith. Randy Whittle on Facebook says, I realize we should just be grateful to be in a bowl game, but have we ever had a less sexy bowl matchup in recent history? No, we haven't. There you go.
Oh, less sexy.
End of story. Nothing sexy about Western Michigan.
No, there actually, yeah, there is.
Both
this
literally
is the less
and
sexy anything.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
It's the Western Michigan Broncos.
So Gary Payne on Twitter asks us, and that's at FastBreakGP, how critical is the Potato Bowl to a positive offseason and prep for the crushing early games of the 2019 season? I don't know that the game is critical. I think the practice time for some of the young players will be very important. Matt, what do you think?
I think that it's there's degrees of this for me, right? So if we go out there and I don't see a scenario where Western Michigan beats us by 10 points or more, right? Now, do I think this is a losable game? Yeah, I think it's a losable game. But if we go out, I think if we were to go out and smoke these guys, that could be a really great way to start the off season and get people into a good mindset and excited about the future. I think if we go out and lose a close game here, we've done enough of that this year, that it shouldn't be too damaging. So I think there is a lot of upside, and it's an opportunity for us to really set a tone. So I'd love to see these guys go out and, you know, beat them by three. I use the term these guys a lot. I'd love to see BYU go out there and beat these Broncos by three touchdowns or more. Just smoke them. Dak just put on a show.
It would be really great for that.
If they do something like that, yeah, this would be great to set off a positive offseason and get people ready to get their minds right for what is going to be a little bit of a gauntlet at the beginning of 2019.
Well, and this is a Western Michigan team that gives up a lot of yardage.
Love it.
So, and has given up lots of scoring to teams that aren't that great.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Toledo put up 51 on them.
Yeah.
So, Ball State up 42. Seriously, if we can't put 35 points on these guys, like, we're doing it wrong.
It's time to fire Jeff Grimes.
We're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and by
Georgia
the way,
State got 15 points on him. I didn't even know that was a school.
This is a time to make fun of you. That portion of the show.
Oh, that's great. We've reached that segment. Do I need to develop a sound effect for this part?
You should.
Wah, wah.
But Jeff Johnston liked my how magnanimous I was to you when you said your ridiculous thing about Tuiaki getting fired.
Listen, I wasn't.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
I wasn't suggesting it.
He was not calling you out for your ridiculousness of suggesting it. He was calling you out for your ridiculousness of you thinking that it was an actual possibility.
I wouldn't be shocked.
You're doubling down on it. That's great. That's what I love about you, man. You're doubling down on it. All right. So anything else? I mean, we'll preview this game on a future episode, but anything else you want to bring up at this point?
No, I feel like I was a little bit down about the matchup in the bowl or whatever, but I am excited to get another game in, and I think these guys did fight hard to be bowl eligible after what happened last season. I don't want to take anything away from that.
No, for sure.
And I'm proud of these guys. I'm excited for the players, and I'd love to see them go out and just kill these guys.
Yeah, but I got a couple of, before we get to the next season stuff, I got a couple of little trivia questions for you, Matt.
I love it when you do this, because this is not in the agenda.
Not at all.
And you already have the answer Googled.
Of course I do. It's sitting right here in front of me. It's great.
All right, so let's see how quick I can Google it.
Who led the BYU team in rushing yards this year?
I don't know the answer to that.
Just don't Google it. Just tell me, give me a guess. This is a fun
Katoa?
Answer. You're correct. 437 yards to Squally Canada's 432 yards. And Cato actually had a yard per carry more in average, right? So he had a lot fewer carries. Hadley was just behind. We didn't have a single running back rush for over 500 yards. Who led...
Well, hold on. Dude, we still haven't talked about is Hadley broke his leg in the Utah game.
Oh, that's right. We didn't talk about that.
And walked off the field on his own power. After everything he did there, he broke his leg.
Well, did you see? Were you watching the Monday night game last night? Washington had another
Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy. They've had two quarterbacks break their legs this year.
Crazy. That's crazy.
And Mark Sanchez, like, to come in and I don't remember. It's who are the new Monday Night Football? It's Jason Witten. And I forget who the play-by-play guys. But they're acting like Sanchez isn't terrible. Like, he completes a few passes, and they're like, this could be something for them. And I'm like, no, it can't.
They desperately didn't want you to change the channel, Adam. That's all that was.
Yeah. Well, it didn't work. I turned the game off.
But I will say this. Like, the Hadley thing, and that just reminded me, you know, about Kafusi going in there. Like, you got to really love this team. Like, yeah, for, as painful as some of this has been to watch, these guys have a lot of fight in them.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And I didn't feel like in any game, even the ones where we got blown out, it was a matter of effort, right? I know some people have questioned that, but I never saw that. I never felt that way watching this team.
No, there were times last year where it looked like the team had given up in a quarter or in a game. You didn't get that in 2018.
No. Who led the team in receiving yards? Again, just give me a guess, dude. Stop Googling.
It's taking a minute to load. I don't know.
You're ridiculous. Just say a name.
Bushman.
It is Bushman. Bushman had...
I heard of this game.
Yeah. Twitter's great. The internet's great. Bushman had 459 yards, which, of course, less than he had last year. He had only 6 catches through the first 4 games.
What was going on there, right? We never got a good answer for that.
I mean, I've heard, you know, he came to camp out of shape or different things. All I can say is this. They did a massive disservice to Tanner Mangum and the offense in the first half of the year by not utilizing Matt Bushman. He averaged 18 yards per catch. That's amazing, right, for a tight end, right? He stretches the field. He does all these things. I look at this, though, and this is what I was going to say. Your quarterback looked pretty good, all right? Mm-hmm. You've got your leading rusher is coming back, right? And he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. Your leading receiver, Bushman, is now had 2 really good years statistically. And you are also getting back a lot of the other top, of your top like 6 receivers. I think it's only Dylan Collier. Who's not coming back, right? So you look at that group and you say, this team could be really good, right? And Katoa, you know, he's got nearly 500 yards receiving. He also caught 20 passes, right? What I want to see in this game, you know, to your point about for next year, is maybe some, you know, a big offensive explosion. Yeah, against not a great team, but still a big offensive explosion.
I'd say this is what I want to see.
Okay.
2 words. 2 Gunnar words. Romney.
Yeah, well, they've decided not to play him very much, so.
Is he going to be there next year?
Oh yeah. Right? Is he going on a mission? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I don't know
what his plans are. Maybe other people do. Probably he does.
And, he may know. He may not. Maybe he hasn't decided yet.
That's true. That's always true. For next year, Alex Cook via email has some. If you want to email us, it's at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. I got it this time. Riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. 1 word.
Wow, you twice in a row.
I know. I'm dealing tonight. Alex Cook says, "What is your way too early prediction for football next year?" He thinks. It's somewhere between 6 and 8 wins, and he actually thinks 8 is very, very doable with this schedule and some improvement from next year. Matt, what do you think? Way too early prediction. How many wins does BYU get next year? Or should we go through the schedule? Should we do
our
thing?
Well, that's what I'm going to have to do to get to the number, right?
Okay, so let's go through the schedule here.
All right, let's do this.
All right, pulling up. Can I get some internet searching music? Do,
do, do, do. This is going to hurt.
Do, do, do.
Stretch out a little bit. Do, 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 do. Don't feel good about what we're about to do.
Do, do. Okay. Thursday, August 29th, we open the season against Utah. Win or loss? Win.
Loss.
At home. Okay. I've got 1, you've got 0. At Tennessee, win.
That's
terrible.
Win.
You've got 1, I've got 2.
Smoky, Rocky Top, or whatever the thing is.
Smoky Rocky Top.
I'm taunting Don.
I think you're combining some metaphors there.
What isn't Tennessee? They got something.
Rocky Top.
It's not Smoky Mountains.
No, it's Rocky Top.
It's just Rocky Mountains.
Then the Rocky Mountains. It's Rocky Top. You're ridiculous. Stop.
Rocky Top. What does that even mean?
What do you mean? All right.
I don't even understand what that means.
USC.
But I'd like to thank them all for volunteering.
You're so dumb. USC in Provo.
Do they wear like big yellow yellow t-shirts? Man. Are we supposed to wear yellow t-shirts when we go play the ball here?
Oh, you're just trolling our brother, huh? You're really not trolling him. You're trolling his wife. She's from Tennessee.
She's going to laugh because Don's going to get worked up. All right.
So, USC.
Loss.
Okay, I agree with you. Washington.
Loss.
Okay, I agree with you. At Toledo, win.
That's a win.
At Southern Florida, win.
Win. They're awful.
Okay, so what are you up to? Three wins?
Three wins.
At Boise State at home, win.
Loss.
Okay. We are off here. At Utah State, win. I'm at six. You're at now three or four?
I'm at three, and that's a loss.
Oh, my gosh. Liberty at home, I'm at seven wins. You're at four. Idaho State at home, I'm at eight wins. You're at five. At UMass, I'm at nine wins. You're at six. At San Diego State, I'm at 10 wins.
I'm also a win. I'm at seven.
Okay, guys, this schedule isn't that great. Like, tough, I mean, right? It's a cool schedule.
Anytime you get to play at McGurk Alumni Stadium, that's a cool schedule.
Shut up. You're ridiculous. aren't you glad we didn't? Because that game, originally there were rumors that UMass game next year was also going to be at Gillette, but now it's at Amherst. Aren't you glad we went this year?
Can you imagine if we had held out and like, we'll just do it next year.
I don't want to frigging go to Amherst. Amherst is terrible. He also asked about the home schedule, right? You got Utah at home, USC, Washington. Boise State.
Liberty, Flames.
Okay, stop. It's a pretty good home schedule.
It's a great home schedule. If you're a season ticket holder, this is not the year to let those tickets go.
Yeah, so anyway, I think I was being a little blue goggles with the 10 wins.
You got to 10 wins. We're barely 500 this year, dude.
So what? Look at this schedule. There's six teams on here we're going to beat. And
And I picked all of them as wins.
So we're going to beat... We're gonna beat a couple of these things. I think we get to eight wins. That's my way too early prediction.
How about this? I'll say that we could get to eight wins because I do believe we will win all the games we're supposed to, and we'll surprise one of these other teams.
Okay. So you think so seven?
I got to seven when we counted.
Oh, that's
true. San Diego State a game? I counted that as a very winnable game. I don't think they're very good.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
And it'll be at the end of the season. Like you'll be really fire. You should really be firing at that point.
Yeah. Well, in the next year, the home schedule has Michigan State, Utah State, Missouri, Houston, San Diego State. Should I go out for that one? Just to get angry at San Diego State?
I don't even know what game you go to in 2020, right? I mean, there's some great options there.
There are some great options. The
at
road.
Stanford.
Well, I know what one game I'm going to at Minnesota. In 2020. All right.
That's a good point.
Let's get back on track here, Matt. You're off track.
That's what I do. It's part of my charm.
Now, Alex asks us a second question. If you could choose one former BYU player from the last 15 years add to the roster next year, who do you choose? I'm not going to say... Yeah, 15. Is 15 a good number? Or do we edit his question?
It's 15. It doesn't matter because I know who I'm going to choose, and he easily fits inside of 15.
15, basically. Let's just go back to the Bronco Mendenhall era.
Okay.
And Kalani. So who are you picking?
Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah, he lists Unga, Kali, and Van Noy as his top choices.
Kyle Van Noy had the rare ability as a defensive player to take over a game.
San Diego State, remember that one?
Oh my gosh. He won that game all by himself.
And almost won that Boise State game by himself.
So, I mean, and offensively right now, if I think about like where I believe that we are offensively and what I expect to see out of us next year, we could use the help on defense more than we need a Harvey Unga or an Austin Colley.
But can you imagine Austin Colley? With Zach Wilson?
It'd be pretty nasty.
Wow, that'd be fun.
or if you had the running attack of a from a Harvey Unga, like what that would do to defenses if they had to prepare for that.
Yeah, it really opened things up, and you know, with the power running game that Grimes wants to run, Unga would be like his man.
Yeah, Unga could totally do it.
He could get 50 carries or something ridiculous in a game.
Yeah. But that all being said, I'm sticking with my original pick here. I'm going Van Noy.
Okay. All right, man. Well, we'll have more in the coming weeks on the bowl game, and of course, we'll be predicting next year for months.
It's going to be awesome. How many times do you think we'll roll through the schedule like we just did?
We usually do it about half a dozen times over the off season, and you change your
every single time.
One week you're going to do 10 wins. And another week you're going to have like 5.
And we 10 wins, that'll be like right after spring ball. I'll be like, we are so awesome!
That's right. So Matt, there's the college football playoff.
Playoff?
Was announced. That Alabama-Georgia game, if you're a Georgia fan, have you recovered yet, do you think? Probably not.
I know some Georgia fans and they have not recovered
yet. They have not recovered. That's a terrible way to lose. But I mean, it was just you got beat, right? There's no conspiracy here. It's just Alabama is beat. And what about beat you? And what about Jalen Hurt? Talk about a story, right?
It's pretty awesome. This is why you stick around.
That's some amazing throws in that comeback. And makes you remember, of course, that he was a former SEC Offensive Player of the Year, all that stuff.
He took him to a national championship game, guys.
Yeah.
Like, he's no slouch.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty good at football, but Matt, who do you got in that game? So let's talk about. You've got the first round matchups are Oklahoma and Alabama, and then you got the Clemson Notre Dame. What do you got?
So I got Alabama beating Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I've got Clemson beating Notre Dame.
Boring.
We're coming in with the 1-2 punch here.
Boring.
Oh, but I got a surprise for you.
Okay, what's the surprise? Clemson beats Alabama.
I'd like to be the first person to congratulate Dabo Sweeney on his national championship.
Why is that a surprise? He already beat Alabama before.
That's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. Either of those teams could win that game. Easy, you know what I mean? I mean, Dabo Sweeney's he's approaching Nick Saban levels of coaching, right?
Except like he seems just more likable.
Oh, well, he's way more likable. I mean, he's engaging with reporters. He doesn't seem like he wants to punch you in the face. Wow. I wasn't going there. We hadn't started talking about Urban Meyer yet.
Hey-o!
So anyway, we're going, I'm going to say this. I think Notre Dame pulls off the big upset, but then gets beat in the championship by Alabama. And I think Oklahoma can win if they get 2 turnovers and cannot turn the ball over. Because they'll score some points even against that really good Alabama defense. But I don't think that ends up happening that way. So anyway, it'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch. Other college football news, Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
At Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter, had this to say. Now that Kingsbury has taken the USC job, which head coaching position will Urban Meyer take in the next couple of seasons? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag not really retired. And then our brother Don says, that is a good question. I want to get a head start on disliking that team now. So in all seriousness, I don't think he comes back and coaches. What do you think? Am I being naive? I mean, he already did this once, right? Where he retired and then came back. But Ohio State was the dream job for him, right?
Yeah, but did you hear the question when they asked him today? Do you really see this as the end of coaching for you?
Yes, I did see that.
And his answer was, that's a complicated question to answer.
These guys have a hard time walking away, even if their health is in trouble, right?
Right, so I've got good news for Don. He already dislikes this team.
What's the team?
Alabama.
When Saban leaves for the NFL or retires?
Saban retires in 2 years. Urban Meyer takes a job with ESPN, so we all got to listen to him blast hot air at us for 2 years about college football, and then Nick Saban retires and they hire him. Where else is he going to go? Like,
the
it's
pros.
Like, it's like, doesn't, didn't, wasn't there a book about this? Like, I believe it's called Inferno by Dante, where like you move down a level every time. So, you know, like, so
Florida,
like,
is,
so Utah is obviously in that funnel.
But Florida's, I was going to say, isn't funnel. Florida, isn't like, the University of Utah at the heart of hell?
Right, or is, well, but it's
so
a question.
Is he moving up or down?
I don't know. But he's definitely in the. He's definitely in this whatever the funnel thing is, right?
Oh, most he's
definitely in there, definitely. Right? So, and where, so, what else is left? Where else? What else is there left for him to go?
So, what other college football teams are in the circle of hell? Dante's Inferno.
That's. I mean, that's tough, right?
Is Florida State in it?
I feel like they probably were at one point, but nobody cares about them anymore.
Anyway, that's an excellent question. I think you're probably right, though. I think he comes back.
Yeah, I don't know if he really. I don't know if he really comes back there, but I do think this, like, what teams belong in Dante's Inferno of college football is an interesting one that probably bears some exploration.
Or does he pull whatever school that is into the Dante's Inferno?
I thought about that too. Right, like obviously Utah was there without his help.
For us, anyway.
Right, but Ohio State wasn't necessarily there with that.
Yes,
so
they were.
They definitely are now.
What? Ohio State was definitely. Have you ever? You went to Purdue. You dealt with their fans.
Yeah, right. Maybe they were there.
They were
so,
there.
So it's
so
the type
was Florida.
Of school, so he's attracted to the same type of school.
Yes.
It's the same. Like, and the thing is, I remember when Ohio State hired him. I was like, they're totally asking for it. They're going to get exactly what they're asking for here. Right. Like he just has no regard for other people. Anyway, we're getting a little bit deep into this. But
you are getting deep. I was just kind of messing around.
Yeah, this could be a fun conversation, right? Like, what are the worst places to be in college football?
Is Wyoming? So,
Wyoming's definitely.
That's the heart. That's the bottom.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because it's just dark.
It's just dark. There's nothing good. Nothing good happening there.
You're going to want to put, like, Stanford on your list.
I would. But I think most people would say I'm being ridiculous.
I think it's probably a little over the top, right?
Probably. And San Diego State, same thing, right?
Yeah, because nobody cares. Come on.
Nobody cares. Is there a Big 12 school?
Is there a Big 12 school that everybody loves to hate?
I was going to say A&M, but they left.
Right. There's places in the SEC that we've already talked about, right?
Now, wait a second. It's all the SEC except for, like, Vanderbilt. So he could go anywhere at the SEC.
What if he goes to LSU?
Oh, I don't hate LSU. People don't hate LSU, do they?
No, they don't. But it would drive me crazy if he ended up there.
Oh, they would.
I don't see them doing that.
Oh, if he was available and they thought he could get him,
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What has Urban Meyer done at every place he's gone?
What's
Won
that?
A lot of football games.
Yes.
Every place he's gone. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He wins lots of football games. That is for certain. So, Matt, let's talk about basketball here for a second. They lost to Illinois State and to Weber State. It's the first time. Is that true? First time the Dave Rose team has lost to Weber State? And it's not as if Illinois State or Weber State are top 100 teams. They're not. But, of course, neither is BYU, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently not. This is not good.
Now, two road games, so you got to factor that in a little bit. But still, these are games that you and I talked about in the prior couple of shows ago. That these are games they just have to win, right?
Right.
Because all they do is hurt your tournament resume. They don't really help it, right? But if you look at it right now, our best victory so far this year is Utah Valley. 9 games into the season, the best team you've beaten is Utah Valley. Which, again, not a knock on them. They're not a terrible team. They're in the same realm, probably, as Illinois State and Weber. But we beat them, and then we lost to those two schools. So Matt, where are you on the panic scale at this point?
I'm a little panicked, right? Because you can get, like, what we talked about before is you go through the schedule and you say, look, we're likely to drop one or maybe even two of these non-conference games that you should win. And, you know, but you can get past that as long as you do a couple of these other things, right? You got to win a St. Mary's game. You got to maybe beat Gonzaga, right? You can get away with it, those things, maybe even without a win against Gonzaga. But you can't drop one or two of those conference games and also have lost to Illinois State and Weber State.
You keep saying non-conference. You mean conference.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean conference.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't drop one of those conference games and already have lost those two. You can't do that.
If you look at the Massey ratings right now, Matt, okay?
I don't think I want to look at the Massey ratings right now because I think I'm going to be depressed by what you're about to say.
We're the fourth best team in the conference.
That's not good.
And
this isn't
barely above Loyola Marymount. Okay? So,
Yay.
Now, it's early, and these ratings and advanced stats and stuff don't really mean anything until after you're done with the non-conference schedule because the sample size is just too small. But my point is that, especially in the case of San Francisco, they're playing really well, right? So not only is everything you said true, we've now got a third conference opponent that's a top 100 team, right? And that has not been true since we joined the West Coast Conference. So now you've got, assume that we're better than we played the last week, which is not a given, okay? But assume we're better and we're a top 100 team. There's a very good chance that we could finish fourth in the conference and not be terrible. But the point is, there aren't four teams from the West Coast Conference getting into the big dance.
Right, that's what
there's
I was saying,
two.
Right?
There's
it's not
two.
Happening.
There's two. I think at the most. You could have three, but it needs to be some weird circumstances, right? You look at the rest of this non-conference schedule, and we got Utah State and Utah. You got to split with that. You got to split this week. And we're recording on Tuesday night, so for some of you, you may listen to this after the Utah State game is done. We really need a win against Utah State to have a marquee win. They're a top 50 team, at least so far this year. They're certainly a top 100 team. We'll see how the rest of the season goes for them. You need that win, and quite frankly, it'd be great if they got both of these wins and kind of righted the ship. So Andre Hutchins says, what do you think some of the reasons are that are contributing to BYU's abysmal shooting and free throw percentages? This is uncharted territory for a Dave Rose team. How do the Cougars improve in those categories? Matt?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is uncharted territory for a Dave Rose team, and I'm not... Like, I don't have a good answer for this other than practice. Like, right? I don't know how you fix that.
Free throws, you're not going to change, honestly. During the season, I don't know there's anything you can do to change the free throw. I'm not worried about the free throw shooting. They're shooting 73% from the free throw line. It's not great, but free throw is not our problem. Our problem is three-point shooting percentage. We are basically dead last in the whole frickin' country in three-point shooting percentage.
And we've basically decided to live and die by that.
Well, we're top 50 in three-point attempts. You know what I think we should do? Stop shooting so many three-pointers. If your name's not TJ Haas, I'm not sure you should be taking them unless you're wide open and it's part of the offense. If I see another contested three-pointer from some of these guys, I'm gonna vomit on myself. Like, they're not hitting the shots. And outside of Celius, who I can't explain what happened to that guy's shot, right? It's just disappeared over the last 2 years. And his thing is shooting, right? Like, I don't want to see Childs back there popping up threes, right? But if you look at the Weber State game, and you look at what happened in that game, everyone wants to make this more complicated, and I'm about to pick on Brian Taylor, but I'm going to read his question here. I'm going to paraphrase it off of Facebook. You know, he said, you know, obviously Illinois is a bad loss, and he's talking about defense in this, and that there's the Matador defense, and we're not playing great defense. Everyone's talking about the three-point percentage is why we're struggling, but our defense is awful. We are underachieving as a program with the talent, resources, and facilities we have. I'm not going to argue with that over the past three seasons. Not much you can argue with. But here's the thing. If you look at the advanced stats defensively, we're not great. We're a middle-of-the-road team. We're a little bit better offensively. But if you look at that Weber State game, for example, it was all about the three-pointers, right? Like, you look right. at that game, it was, let me pull up the box score here. You know, we hit 5 three-pointers, right? And they hit, where's their box score? And they hit 11. That's it, guys. That's the difference in the score, right? They hit 6 more three-pointers than we did. That's it.
So we're done. So you think we just kind of get away from the three and stop living in that space?
Yeah. Look at, we're terrible at shooting three-pointers.
So are we just trying too hard to, like, live the future of basketball? Because if you look at what, like, the direction everybody thinks the NBA and everybody's going at, that's the direction, right? Everybody wants to be Steph Curry.
If you can shoot like Steph Curry, great. It is the future. But look at our three-point shooting percentage right now. Okay, I picked on Childs a little bit. I picked on Childs a little bit, but he's actually shooting at 33%, which is, for a big guy, not terrible. Haas is 34%. Celius is actually a little bit higher as well. But you know, Hartnett is shooting at 26%. Right? Do I really want him shooting a lot of three pointers? I mean, he's shot 23 three-pointers this year. I don't think he should have been shooting that many. He's averaging, 2.5 three-point shots a game. Do you want him shooting 2.5 three-point shots a game? You know? I don't want him shooting. And Connor Harding, maybe he rights the ship at some point, but he's shooting three-point shots. Three. 2.8. 3-point shots a game, and he's hitting at a 20% clip. Some of this will write itself out because I think a few of these people are better shooters than they are. But the other thing, if you look at that Weber State game, is we didn't generate enough free throw shots either because we're shooting all these stupid perimeter shots. Right? So we also got beat on the free throw line by Weber State, and I don't think that's bad refereeing as much as it was they attacked the basket more than we did. Now, that helps you're making three-pointers, so people have to come rushing at you. It makes it easier to attack the hoop. But I hear what Brian's saying, and I agree. The defense has not been good this year. But we win some of these games, and we're, say, a two-loss team, a 7-2 team, if we can just hit, a decent number of three-pointers. I don't know, Matt. What do you think?
Well, so what kind of a difference do you think Emery out there makes?
Well, that's the big question. He returns tomorrow night against Utah State. He can shoot three-pointers. He drives to the hoop a lot. He's not a great defender, or at least hasn't been historically. So I think offensively he's going to make a pretty significant impact if he is in shape and if he's ready to go. But, you know, at this point, you're 5-4. It's one of the worst starts in a long time for BYU, and you've lost two games that you shouldn't have already, this early in the season. I don't know if Emery can fix all that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he can fix all that. I think he'll bring your shooting percentage up, but, I mean, he's just one man, right?
He is, but, I mean, if he could build on, if he could be freshman Nick Emery plus, like we all hoped he would be in his sophomore season, then I think you could see us not drop games like this in the future, right? But Brian points out that we lose a couple of these every year, and the problem really is we don't, at this point, our margin for error to get into the tournament is very small. It can happen. People start poorly like this and then end up making the tournament, right? It's not unheard of. It actually happens every year. There's a team or two that get into the tournament, maybe even larger group than that, that played really bad in the beginning of the year. But the margin for error at this point is very small. You're going to need to finish probably second in the conference, maybe beat St. Mary's twice and or get Gonzaga once and not drop more than maybe one tournament game you should.
Maybe one of those.
Maybe one.
Right.
Maybe. Like, But again, you've got to, and again, you're going to need a good non-conference win. You're going to, and that means Utah State, Utah, and again, this depends on how they end the year, right? Right now, Utah State's playing really well, but maybe they don't end the year that well. San Diego State, Mississippi State. That's the group. You've got to beat at least one of those teams. And Utah might be in that group too, though they're not playing real great at the moment. But you look at that group, and you got to win at least one of those four games. If you lose all four of those games, your margin for error now is near zero.
You just have too many losses at that point.
You have too many losses, and you don't have a marquee out-of-conference win, and the committee's going to absolutely hammer you for that. If your marquee out-of-conference win is Utah Valley, that's not going to get it done.
That's not a marquee win.
It's not a marquee win. No. It's a win you just should have as a top 100 team, especially at home. Right, so, but those San Diego State, Mississippi State games on the road, I mean, Mississippi State's playing like a top 30, top 40 team right now, so they could be, that could be one that, you know, you'll have Emory for a couple weeks by then, and going into the conference, that could be a big one. So I'm not writing them off, but I don't, if you ask me today to predict if they're going to be in the tournament, the answer is no, right? Based on what we've seen so far. Or do you think Emory coming back changes that?
I think Emory coming back might spark everybody. Maybe I'm just hoping, right?
It's okay. You can have a little hope there, brother.
And I think there's something, and I think there's something about team chemistry and stuff on the floor that gets improved. And then you start gaining a little bit of consistency right now. Whereas, you wonder, like, how are they, because they're preparing for these games knowing that he's not going to play. But at the same time, I think, everybody's got to have in their heads that he's going to be playing a lot of minutes starting Wednesday night. And hopefully that changes some of the dynamic, because they got to do something to turn this thing around, because it's like, if you felt like they were just going to these games and just getting beat by teams, or they just had one off night, right? But, I mean, it's just three in a row like this, especially to those last two, it just doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. And to Brian's point about defense, Weber State shot 63% from the floor, something like that. The defense does have to get better. It's been inconsistent. I would disagree that it's been terrible all year. There's been a couple games where actually it was pretty good. A couple early games where I thought maybe they had turned the corner on defense this year, but then there's been some other games. They need to play consistently above average defense,
Yes.
I don't need them to be they don't need to be an elite defensive team. I don't think they've got the players necessarily to be elite defensively. But outside of maybe Hartnett, who's I think quite a good defender. I think Childs is actually, when he stays out of foul trouble, a good defender. I think their biggest problem is going to be getting that defensive consistency. Can overcome some of that three-pointer. If you can't get the three-point shots to fall, then you got to keep the other team to fewer points, right? But we'll see. I mean, Emory's got a lot to prove, right? And I hope he comes out with that attitude that he needs to prove that, but without, throwing up 20 shots a game, right? But he's got a lot to prove. I mean, the program... The program got dinged because of his actions. You and I think it's stupid that the NCAA has some of these rules, but in the end, I mean, the program has gotten hurt by some choices that he made, and he needs to come back and I'm guessing he's highly motivated to do that. So Matt, a last thing was a email from Tim Jacobson. He says airplane game, but layover variation with Tom Homo. So layover means you're sitting next to him in the waiting area and actually get to have a conversation with him. I'm going to change this game a little bit, Matt.
Good, because I'm sure I would make this conversation awkward.
Let's do it first class. You get upgraded, and you're sitting next to Tom Homo.
Oh, that's even worse.
2.5-hour flight.
Oh, that's even worse.
So let's call it the first class conversation, okay? And not only that, he turns to you and says, "Hi, my name's Tom Homo. Who are you?" So he opens the conversation, opening that door for you. Matt, what do you talk to Tom Homo about?
Wow, that's pretty crazy. But you know what I'd be interested to talk to Tom Holmoe about is the future of college football and conference alignment, and how he views the upcoming contract TV contract negotiations with the conferences, where we might fit into that space, and does he see it as his goal to get us into a conference from a football standpoint, or you know, or are we committed to the sake to independence for the sake of independence? Right? Is independence the thing, or was this just what we're doing because we didn't get the conference situation that we wanted? Because there's some argument to be made that that's not just a financial decision. Financially, independence will most of the time is gonna win out because of the money that we've been able to command on the TV contract. So that's the first thing I'd want to talk to him about. And the second thing is I want to know if he considers a hot dog a sandwich.
I don't know why you'd bring that up. Matt, my first question, if he said, "Hey, I'm Tom Holmoe," I'd say, "Hey, I'm Adam Mangum. You know, I've always wondered something, Tom. What was it like to coach a 1-10 team?" Just kidding. I'm totally kidding. 2001.
Great way to open up a conversation.
Yeah, probably would end it, right? Right there. No, I'd ask him about where he comes up with his ideas for his Halloween costumes.
That is actually something I would like to discuss. And who does all the makeup and stuff? That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah,
he's not doing. You can't do that to yourself in a mirror. There's no way, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. De La Cruz was amazing.
The Voldemort one was phenomenal.
Voldemort one was great. He looked scary as all get out.
He looked just like Larry Krystowiak.
He did. He did. He should go as Larry Krystowiak.
Wouldn't that be funny?
That'd be so awesome.
That would be so funny.
And with a wand.
That'd be so fun.
So, anyway. Well, Matt, that's been the show. We talked about doing an 8th anniversary thing. I totally spaced it until today, until just a few minutes ago.
Wait, you forgot our anniversary?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I'll remember it next year. I'll remember it in 2 years when we're at 10 years.
That's going to be a big deal right there.
Sure, sure. Maybe we'll have a good basketball team and a good football team then. Women's volleyball will be good, probably.
This will turn into the BYU Women's Volleyball Podcast.
It could. I could see that. Or maybe we'll also, you know, cover cross-country.
Man, we're pretty good at that.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of debate on strategy at cross-country. I really think he should have run faster. I would have run faster than that if I were him. That's my top flight analysis.
I feel like this would get boring quickly.
I think you might be right. Plus, we're probably not the right to maybe you because with your running, you're a runner.
Oh yeah, because I'm extremely competitive with my running.
Well, I'm just saying, at least you run, right? I'd be sitting there going, why are they doing this? You know, I wouldn't.
That looks
do
really
this.
Tiring.
I'm getting tired watching. I'm not even watching. I'm just looking at the stat sheet. But anyway, we'll be back next week to talk hoops, to talk a little bit more about the bowl game, and start our bowl preview spectacular, where we go through all of the bowl games and predict each and every one, even ones where we've never seen those teams play and aren't even sure where they're located.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Yes, and talk about how hungry we are if the bowl game name has anything to do with food. It's just what
awesome.
We do every year. All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening. If you want to email us, we'd love to hear from you, what you think about the show. Tweet bad questions and the like. That's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Thank you for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!